Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Do you think new replacement windows and patio doors have to be expensive? Think again. I'm Andrew Kanopic from Renewal by Andersen. As the full-service replacement window division of Andersen, Renewal by Andersen often has larger discounts and better financing than other companies and contractors. Right now, save 20% on every window and save 20% on every patio door. With zero money down, zero payments, and zero interest for 1 year. You can also save money by replacing your windows in stages. With us, you can even save a lot by simply choosing a different window or patio door style. For affordable windows and patio doors that will last, call Renewal by Andersen to schedule your free appointment and save 20% on your project.
Call 1-800-406-8700. 1-800-406-8700. That's 1-800-406-8700. Offer not available in all areas. Restrictions and conditions apply. Call for license information.
Live from Borderline and Thousand Oaks, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Tonight, live rounds of the Rotten Tomatoes game and what can't Adam complain about, with Gina Grad on news and Balt Bryan on sound effects. And now, live in Thousand Oaks, the man with a thousand complaints, Adam Carolla!
Yeah. Get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for... Oh, sorry, Gina Graham.
No problem.
Oh, you're sitting there.
That's okay. I'll take this one. I just grabbed your mic.
Okay. I guess that's how we do it, right?
That's how we do it.
That's all right. I'm trying to think. How do we do this? You're always there. I'm always here. All right. Yeah. How bad does this sound? Bad? We'll mix it up. We'll get it fixed. We'll get it smoothed out.
Someone said smell sounds nasally.
Hey, that's Gina Grad right there. And that's Bald Brian over there. I got my buck slip over here. That's the shit I can complain about. I actually ride on one side and then I turn the shit over. I would use both sides of toilet paper if I could. Sadly, it's so desecrated on the side I use that it always bleeds through the other. But let's not go there. Hey, I can talk shit about my wife because we're not going to run this as a podcast. So she'll never hear it unless you assholes rat me out.
I just thought you should know.
Yeah, oh, this guy's filming, and now he's going to show it to Lynette. But
oh, my God, it's exciting.
Have you guys found that I can't get through a hypothetical scenario with my wife? Your mic sound as bad as my mic sounds?
I feel pretty crisp. What do you guys think?
Okay, yours too? Yeah.
Would you like to switch mics with me as God intended?
Do yours.
I got a nice booming mic.
Switch with me.
Best one too. I don't know. Let's see if it works. Hello?
Oh.
Nah, maybe that's better.
There he is.
Thank you. All right. The hypothetical. The hypothetical with my wife goes this way. I can't get through the fucking hypothetical because she chimes in as to what is wrong with the hypothetical before I get through the hypothetical. I've learned this with Dr. Drew's crazy wife many years ago when we were walking through Manhattan and we were there for like the MTV Music Awards and we were trying to goes to your hotel. She then dives in and goes, that's not going to work. The limo has to pick us up. I said, let me finish. The reason they're called hypotheticals and not locked in granite is because you have some flexibility. So I said, second hypothetical, the limo picks you guys up first. then picks me up, and then she said, that's not going to work because I need extra time to get ready. I said, let me fucking finish my hypothetical. It's a hypothetical. The third is we all show up at the venue and meet at the venue, and she says, no, that's not going to work. I said, let me finish. Drew jumped in. I said, no more hypotheticals. We're done. Now, the thing that was funny is Drew became the broker, like the peacemaker for the hypotheticals. Drew was saying, just finish the hypotheticals. No more hypotheticals. I turned into Larry David. You've lost your hypothetical privileges, which are not hypothetical. Those are gone.
Now it's locked in concrete.
Your hypothetical privileges are gone. I shall not speak anymore. Drew kept saying, just finish. I said, nope. You've squelched everyone at every turn. I tried this with my wife yesterday. My kids wanted to come with me to do Jimmy Kimmel's TV show. Can I say this? We love Jimmy, but as a sidebar, every show does this, including Jimmy's show. When you walk, I was the lead guest.
He's the lead guest?
I was the lead guest.
Aww. He's the lead guest?
The lead guest.
He's the lead guest?
That means they have fallen on hard times. Something has happened. Maybe every celebrity got into that scooter accident in Italy that Clooney got into.
Jimmy calls up. He's like, Adam. Adam, you know Sweeps Week? This is the exact opposite. Are you available?
Right. Yeah, we're in mop month, not sweep meat week, mop month, and we need you. So I'm the lead guest, and I'm going to do two segments as the lead guest, but you come in through the alley in the back of the theater, the security lets you in, and you walk down this long corridor, and the long corridor is adorned with pictures of celebrities they would rather have that night. So all you do is walk. Now, if you're not going to be on the show, it's impressive. Like, oh, wow, look at Ben Kingsley. Oh, well, there's Oprah. Geez, it looks like he's doing a bit with Matt and Ben. You know, they got wigs on. But if you're the lead guest, you just go, they'd rather have him, her. I think she has a stepson they'd rather book tonight if they could get him.
It's most wanted.
Yes, it's literally a hallway of a who's who they'd rather have than you. But I digress. I had this thing with my wife where I said, what the fuck with kids?
Yeah, finally, someone's saying it.
No, but here's the thing. When I was a kid and somebody had to do something that you didn't want to do, you just went with them. And then it'd be like, well, you know, your dad's going cigar shopping for 7 hours. What are we going to do? I don't know, sit in the fucking car. Or sit out on that stupid pony in front of the thing and just feed a nickel into it. Just that's when kids were kids. Sit on that blazing hot piece of metal and just do nothing for 4 hours. Like, literally, what I'm doing now is exactly what you would do on that fucking... There was a spaceship with, like, a steering wheel that wasn't hooked up to anything. You know, there was a car with the same steering wheel. Endless Brody knob. Just a carriage bolt going nowhere, and you just keep spinning it in the car. All the car would do would jostle you. You'd sit on a blazing hot piece of metal with pigeon shit all over it, and then you just sit there and go, well, this is fucking better than sitting at home. I'm going to keep turning this wheel.
We'll keep pretending to drive.
Yeah, just pretending to drive. Hey, while you're there, here's one of those fake candy cigarettes and a near beer. You can just put the fake cigarette with the powdered sugar in your mouth, crack a near beer, hold a steering wheel that is not hooked up to anything.
Saturday night.
We got this 9-year-old floozy who's all dolled up. She can be your bitch. Get a cigarette, get your near beer, go full Chappaquiddick when you steer it into the lake.
Oh, too soon? Too soon for Chappaquiddick jokes?
A couple more decades.
All I'm saying is we have these insane things with the kids, which is I am going to the warehouse. I'm going to the studio. I'm going there at 1 o'clock. I'm going to do the podcast. When I'm done with the podcast, I'm going to get changed, and I'm going over to Kimmel's. Okay, my kids want to come to Kimmel's, but the big question is, what do they do in the interim? My answer, get the fuck in the car and go with Daddy to the fucking podcast and do anything while I'm doing the podcast. But because the little precious Fabergé eggs have to be entertained all the time, my fucking wife has to be like, well, why don't you go to the podcast? And then at some point, I'll take them over there. Because God forbid they sit in a fucking giant warehouse filled with mini bikes, go-karts, and pinball machines and a 70-inch TV and just be bored off their ass. You know, remember when you were a kid and it was like, oh, nothing but plasma TVs and free snacks? I don't think so. What? Central Air? Now I'm really out. Where's that horse I can sit on for 5 cents? So then the hypothetical conversation starts, which is, first things first, all I do is suggest the no shit Sherlock, or as my sister would say, no shit Dick Tracy.
Or the new one.
The new black one, no shit Shaft.
Yeah.
When two brothers are saying something that's obvious, it should be no shit Shaft. I don't.
Somebody here's got to know a black person. Spread the word.
Yeah, spread the word.
I'm just playing the odds.
We let him in after 11, right?
No.
I'm assuming there's a policy. I don't see
it. Look around. The answer's no.
I said after 11. But come on. I'm not racist. I'm just setting my ways.
Adam's Adam.
He's setting his racist ways.
Hey, I'm friends with David Alan Greer. Don't give me shit. So I get into this retarded negotiation where I'm like, why don't the kids simply get into my car at 1 o'clock? We will go to the shop. We will do the podcast from 1:30 to 3, and then we'll all drive over to Kimmel's house. Now, you have to understand, I'm in La Cañada. The shop's in Glendale, and Kimmel is in Hollywood. So it's wildly inconvenient to do this any other way. As I'm getting into my hypothetical about the kids coming with me, and then my wife, because she can't tolerate sanity, goes, wait, we'll get Olga to get the kids and take the kids to the shop. Olga lives in Studio City.
Oy.
So she would have to drive from Studio City, past Glendale, to La Cañada, get the kids, and turn around and go back to Glendale, and then turn around and go back to La Cañada.
Is this all so Sonny wouldn't have to play Fortnite on a different couch?
This is simply to do something different than I'm suggesting. And really, that's the only allure to it, is this is something other than the genius is suggesting. The genius who pays for everything has an idea. Let's reject it. We must reject this idea. This cannot work. I got a Lamborghini Miura, and I'm a rich man. You should at least hear me out. So I say, wait a minute. Olga's going to leave Studio City. She's going to come to La Cañada. She's going to get the kids. She's going to go to Glendale. What a waste of driving. Why don't they just go with me?
Yeah. On the clock.
Oh, here's where the cash comes in. Lynette says, and this is when I really should have had her institutionalized. I realize I should have had a guy in a white suit with a butterfly net, like just chase her down.
5150.
She said, well, what time are you going to Kimmel's? I said, I got to be there at 4:30. I'm going to leave the shop. I'm going to leave the studio at 4. She said, I'll have Olga come at 3:30, pick the kids up, drop them back off at Glendale, and then she can just go home.
kind of close.
I said, all right, but I'm paying her for a fucking day of work just to have her drive from Studio City to La Cañada. Even the fact that we're this far into this conversation is insanely insulting. The kid should get in the fucking air-conditioned Jag with the Corinthian leather and drive with their fucking dad to his giant warehouse where they can look at the Lamborghini Miura. Lynette announces, I'll drive the kids. She's a hero. I will simply drive them at 3:30 and bring them myself. That took about 20 minutes. I do not know what's going on with fucking kids because I felt like my entire childhood was just waiting around for my parents to do something. It'd be like, hey, could I get a ride to Teddy Lewis's house in Van Nuys? In 11 hours. What are you doing? But I'm going to be in my room. Well, so I'll be there at 4 a.m.? Somewhere between 4 and 5 in the morning. Can I come get you in 3 hours? If you knock, you're not going. My buddy, Chris Bohm, his dad is gone, Rick, big Rick Bohm. Rick Bohm was the greatest because he ran a transmission shop. He had a truck. He had motorcycles, but he also had a little cocaine problem and a little booze problem. But he was the fun dad.
Obviously.
He'd have to be.
Yeah, I was going to say. The problem is if you're not the fun dad.
Oh, he was the fun dad. And the thing that would be funny is the biggest excitement I ever had in my childhood was going out motorcycle riding, dirt bike riding with Rick Bohm and Chris and his dad and we and his little brother. We'd go to Aquadosi Canyon up there or and go riding. Yeah, okay, we Aquadosi Canyon, right. So you know. So we go riding. Now, the thing that was comical is we would sit in the bed of his short bed Chevy pickup truck in between the motorcycles that were tied down all the fucking way down to, yes, endangering kids' welfare. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I wish I could do that with my kids. But
shout out to the bad parents in the corner. Woo!
I would say to Chris, it'd be the greatest thing ever. Now, when you go motorcycle riding, you want to get going. You got to load up those bikes, and you got to head out of town, and you got to get as much riding as you can get in before the sun goes down. So I would sleep over at Chris's house, and I would say, all right, what time we heading out? And Chris would say, my dad says 7 a.m., we're loaded up, and we're on the road, wheels up, 7 a.m., all right, fine. I'd get up at like 6:45, Chris would be up at 6:45. Rick came home drunk 20 minutes earlier, high on coke, and just passed out in the bedroom. Chris couldn't go wake him up because he'd get a boot thrown at his head or something. We would just sit there and we'd just like, when are we going to go? When are we going to go? At some point, it would be like noon. And Chris would go, I can make a cup of coffee and I can set it on the nightstand, but I can't really do more than that.
Like then the cartoon, the steam, the smell would make the come hither and he'd follow it out to the front.
Right.
It's really more of a question for DCFS, by the way.
If I told my daughter we were going to Disneyland, wheels up at 7 a.m., she would be in my room at 7:05 going, what the fuck? And if I told her, get out, I sleep as long as I will, I would be woken up moments later by Mark Garagus, who would be representing my daughter in a lawsuit.
He'd serve you.
He'd be serving me. She'd go up the fucking street. She'd get Garagus, and I'm free. She has him on retainer. I know it. And he would fucking serve me papers, and I would have to go to Disneyland. That's absolutely how it goes. There it would be no more, oh, we have to wait. We would sit around and wait 6 hours for Rick Bohm to get the fuck up. By the time we got to Aquadosi Canyon, it was getting dark.
The thing you mentioned earlier, does that still happen? It happened to me all the time when I was a kid. Does this still happen? Parents, do you still do this? When you're like, when are we going to go get the ice cream? In 30 minutes. Can we go now? That's 5 more minutes. You ask again, it's 5 more minutes.
Yes.
It keeps escalating. You're like,
yeah, no. You
Can I speak?
My kids can bug whoever they want as long as they want with no repercussions at all. We would keep getting... I was basically like on Devil's Island, like in that movie Pepillon. Like, okay, you got a 30-year stint, but you get caught trying to escape. We're going to tack 10 years yeah, on and stay. 5 in the hole. Yeah. Like, you would, they yeah. would keep adding on. All right, Brian, you have... anyway, questions? Brought the kids, did Kimmel. Everything was fine. I was telling these guys on the pod today, but something horrific happened at Kimmel, which is, as you know, my daughter was devastated that I was the guest. So I said to her the day before, I said, hey, I'm going to go see Uncle Jimmy tomorrow night. I'm going to the show. She went, you're going to the show. I want to come to the show, too. I said, yeah, you come to the show, you come with me. She went, who's the guest? And I said, I am. And she went like, ugh. Yuck. And
such
then she was like, who's the other guest? And I was like, because she was like, please, please, yeah. Cardi B or Beyonce or somebody. And I was like, baby, if I'm going first, you don't have to ask. Like, you big Jeff Ross fan, like, it's not going to be pretty.
It's a housewife and not from this season.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to be Adam. And then if we have time, we'll get Jay-Z and Beyonce out there. No, no, no. No, no. So she's devastated. She's devastated that her dad... As I was saying to these guys earlier today, remember how devastated it was for you back in the day when your dad would be the lead guest on Mike Douglas's show and you'd have to go out there and be like, oh, where's Robert Goulet? This sucks. Uh-oh, this guy's drunk over here. Yeah. All right. Listen, you know that show Naked and Afraid? Let's start a new show called Drunk and Quiet. I would love to see that on the Discovery Channel.
That's good.
We now return to Drunk and Quiet. Thank you. By the way, my TV has somehow, with the new formatting, found out it puts every show's big poster up in big block form when I turn it on. Like, here's your shows. Here's what you can choose from. I just watch car shows all fucking day long, but the first two are always Naked and Afraid and My 600-Pound Life. It's the fucking guy, he's sitting on a beanbag chair, he's got like a towel draped over his junk, he's got weird pointy man titties.
He's a head in a bed.
He's like, yeah, I'm going for another surgery to remove the penis tomorrow, and he's like, blah, and I'm like...
They're coming to lift me out at noon.
First off, I'm trying to avoid this in life. I do not visually want to see this. I'm going to eat some lasagna later, and this isn't going to help. Also, hey, you're called a smart TV, right? How fucking smart can you be if I've never seen either one of these shows ever because I don't want to see these shows, and you keep fucking offering up them to me as if, oh, hey, boss, another episode of Naked and Afraid. Hey, I've combined the two. My Naked Afraid 600-Pound Life. Come on. I'm naked. I'm afraid of the naked 600-Pound guy, and I'm in my fucking living room.
He's naked. You're afraid.
I'm afraid I'm never going to be able to eat again. And also, like, when you ever see the commercial, then they run the commercial for Naked and Afraid, and it's like, last night, fire ants attacked my scrotum. And it's like...
Yeah.
Why? Also, I have a show on my computer I like to watch called Naked and Fucking for Free. With a lot of hot 19-year-old runaways.
Naked and Naked.
I much prefer those episodes than the guys getting his crotch eaten by the fire ants.
To be fair, she's also afraid, but she's
afraid too. There's one possible upside to that show. It'd be seeing a little poon and some titties, but that's the only part they tile out.
Pixelated.
The part where the fire ants attacked his taint. Yeah. That they got No problem showing that.
They get shockingly high-def close-up of the ant bites, of the wounds. Like, yeah. Please, take a look.
Yeah, fire ants and bed sores are fine.
Yeah,
also, none of this is a revelation to me. Like, you go to the Congo and you fall asleep naked by the side of the fucking river. I assume you wake up with a, you need a little calamine lotion the next day. I'm sure there's going to be mosquito bite or something.
Yeah, cortisone shot.
Yeah, I go out in my fucking backyard and have a beer during the summer and I get a couple mosquito bites. I'm assuming something while you're by the Amazon River and you nod off underneath a log. You probably do run into some wildlife.
Some creatures.
Yes. All right. So it's my 600-pound life and naked and fucking afraid in what is the smart TV, but it's really retarded TV because it should just be showing car shows up there.
They did pick the only two types of people you wouldn't find in a race car.
Right.
The obese
600-pounder.
Yeah.
Hey, can I say this to either the shit's offensive or it's not. Like, you could never see Gina Grad sitting on a beanbag chair with those boobies swinging out.
Thank you.
But if you're a dude and you're super sad and you have weird V triangle man tits and tons of extra skin, you can go completely topless for
that.
We don't have, the FCC's not going to get involved with that because that is not offensive. Well, here's my math logic on Gina and her boobs and the 600-pound dude who needs the plastic surgery.
Don't worry, Gina. This is going to be great.
So glad I drove up from Hollywood.
I am going to take the entire world, and I'm going to chop them in two.
Okay.
There is, when it comes to Gina and her ample bosom on the beanbag chair and the little square in front of my 600-pound life, if she's topless, 7/8 of the world is over the fucking moon about it. And then there's an eighth that is pissed off because they're evangelical.
The children,
or the kids, or whatever. There's a very small group of assholes that would not appreciate that bosom, and everyone else is way over the top with it.
Thank you. I needed that. Thank you very much.
Aren't you glad you came?
This is awesome.
My 600-pound life, the entire group can be split into, the world can be split into two groups, annoyed or annoyed and nauseated. Yeah. That's it. Everyone who sees that fucking fat ass who needs to have the surgery just goes, ugh, get it the fuck out of my face. So with that unit of measurement in place, why is it illegal for us to see Gina in her titties and perfectly natural to see the guy who lost the fucking weight?
Thank you.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Who's with him?
Yes, we can.
All right, let's, I don't want to talk about, I was talking about Kimmel, sorry. The problem with my daughter is my daughter showed up at Kimmel's, came there yesterday, brought my son. They went with me. We went up to Uncle Jimmy's office. Jimmy did a cool move like De Niro in Casino. You go up right before the show starts. He's wearing his shirt and tie.
No pants.
Yeah.
No pants. Socks, black socks pulled up.
Power move.
No pants. Power move. He sits behind his desk. He gets up. No pants, but the top on.
That's good. Yeah. Send him in 1 minute.
Got the makeup and the hair and everything, but no pants.
Good.
Power De Niro Casino move. Anyway, we go
Ace
up.
Ace Rothstein.
We say hi.
Did he also tell his assistant to have the phone ring in 5 minutes and say he has an emergency?
We say hi. We say hi to Uncle Jimmy. Oh, by the way, do not think on the ride home after going to Jimmy's place and seeing all the 250 people that work for him and so on and so forth. Do not think that I did not have this conversation with my daughter, as I always do whenever we go see Uncle Jimmy in his giant barn or his giant party or his giant house or his giant theater. The ride home, daughter in the front seat, swear to Christ, every time, had it yesterday at 7 in the evening. Natalia. So if you and Mom were both killed,
yeah.
Hypotheticals.
We would be raised by Uncle. He would raise us, and I'm like, yeah, but you shouldn't pray for me and Mom to both go in a fiery van accident. And she's like, No, not for nothing.
You got me all wrong.
Just don't misunderstand me.
By the by, you know. And listen, we don't need Jimmy. Colbert could raise us, you know. It doesn't have to be Jimmy, but obviously someone affluent and on TV.
Right.
It's the same reason every hotel room has a fire escape plan. We don't want the place to catch on fire, but should it?
I did realize, like, I am mature enough as an adult to realize my daughter was sort of toying with the idea of Mom and Dad perishing so that she could be raised by Jimmy. And sure, there were parts of her that probably didn't want it to happen. Small parts.
Right, but overall.
Had that horrific conversation. But anyway, a worse conversation than that was when we were at Jimmy's and my daughter still couldn't get over the devastation and disappointment of me being the lead guest on the show. She then said, who is the guest on Monday? And the segment producer was like, Kim Kardashian. And my daughter's like, I'm back on Monday. And I'm like, I'm not fucking driving you over the hill. And then, of course, she said to all the nice girls, because this is what girls do, can I come back on Monday and see Kim Kardashian? They don't say, ask your dickhead dad. They go, of course you can, sweetheart.
Of course, sweetie.
You can sit in the makeup chair next to her.
We would love to have you.
Now everybody is telling my daughter, oh, for sure, come back Monday and hang out with the Kardashians. My daughter's like, yes, she salvaged this train wreck into an episode of the Kardashians. I'm sitting there going, I live in fucking La Cañada. I'm not doing this. But it is now carved in stone because she was told. All right, do you have the what can Adam complain about?
I do.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man can complain about it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
There we go. All right.
First one. I'll read them because there's no microphone in the room for these guys. J.P. Flores from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Ooh, where are you at?
Where are you, J.P.? Hey, here he is.
Hi.
New Mexico. JP. Yeah, what's going on?
JP has a good one. How can you complain about the perfect one-wipe BM?
Impossible.
Clean, efficient, quick.
It's nice.
Healthy.
It's what we wake up dreaming of.
There's always an air of skepticism, though, isn't there? Like,
you never believe it.
Yeah, like, wow, that paper's nicer than it was when it went down. Maybe I missed again. Yep. I'm going to go double check. Because I've had way too many of what I call a mechanical pencil incidents down there. Where it's like you wipe and you go, all right. And then you wipe and it's like, you know, a mechanical pencil works. You know,
another click, twist. Click. Yeah.
It just, the lead just keeps coming. And at a certain point, you just go, fuck it. I'm going out with stinky ass. Like, I don't care. But that wipe is great. But it does kind of set the bar pretty high.
It's like the first time you flew first class. You know what you're missing now.
It's like when you play a softball game and you get up, first pitch, hit a dinger. After that, fucking dribbler back to the pitcher the next time, whatever it is. It's devastating.
Everybody's counting on you.
Yes, everyone is counting.
And there's also the softball game.
Everyone is counting on me. Can I tell you, I got two switches in my bathroom. I got fart fan switch, which is get it up and out. And the switch next to it is heater coil, blow the hot air down, weaponize the shit. Like one makes it go away. The other turns it into anthrax.
I have the same thing. And they're right next to each other. And they're the exact same button.
Yeah, please tell me they're clearly marked.
You got to know where know where they are.
With my tears.
You know what I want? I want a shit stink bug zapper. Hear me out. They have, if you get one of these, you know, a sharper image air purifier, ionizer, whatever, you'll turn it on and you'll hear it like pop, pop, pop. Awesome. Oh, and it's zapping all the pollen and it's zapping all the dander and it's zapping all the... I'm sure it's just a plug-in speaker that periodically makes popping sounds.
But
and
it's so satisfying.
Oh, my lungs feel cleaner. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, let's make it oscillate. There, and the speaker goes zap, pop, pop, zap. But I would love that feature in a fart fan. I would love to drop a big deuce and then hit the fart fan and hear that same, oh, yeah, listen to it. Tacking that asshole with a vengeance.
Hear that atomized fecal matter moving?
Yes, I'm just saying, instead of simply taking it and making it go through the ceiling and kicking it into the neighbor's yard, shouldn't we hit it with, like, ultraviolet light or something?
Neutralize it.
Neutralize. Yes.
Yes.
By the way, speaking of the fart fan, when I do the fart fan and, like, I'm at the Home Depot and I'm like, I'm going to buy a fart fan and there's the one, oh, this is the GE Whisper Quiet series. I'm like, no, I went the oom-pa-pa band. I went the fucking one that sounds like Dick Van Dyke's doing a one-man band. Like, I don't want Whisper Quiet. I want a light, I want about 35 decibels that's just going to cover whatever devastation takes up in here. Quiet is not what I'm looking for. I like quiet in an escalator or an elevator.
A library.
A luxury car. The fart fan, I want some cover. I want them to lay down. My whole thing is, I'm taking a shit, boys. Cover me. Lay down some suppression noise. I'm going in. I'm doing this with the toilet paper. I want a little fucking jet engine out there, right? Fuck the Whisper Quiet. I don't know who came up with that shit.
Noisy distraction is the setting I want.
And by the way, why does it need to be quiet? It's like, you know, remember last week I was having an important business meeting in my toilet room there? And I could barely fucking hear what my client was saying because the goddamn fart fan wasn't... Remember we were discussing that really sensitive information and I kept saying, huh? What? Yeah, in my bathroom. I do want some sound in there.
Yeah.
I'm all for that fucking sound. All right, sorry. What's the next
one? You got it. You nailed it. Next one. I'm going to say Neil Lemke from Simi Valley. Where are you, Neil? Did I pronounce your name right?
Right here, second row.
Nice.
Neil.
Ooh, Adam Hout.
Yeah, hey, Neil, how are you? It's a good shirt. I like it. Turquoise is not a look every guy can pull off. But you, my friend, can. Who are the guys with the chunks of turquoise? Because I feel like you could get a hubcap-sized belt buckle of nothing but turquoise for under $30. Yeah. Why does that... What is this saying about you, the turquoise guy? You got the turquoise shirt. You don't got to get the chunks. Little bit of I'm down with the Native American cause.
Yeah. It says I'm spiritual and gaudy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been to Scottsdale.
Yes, I've been to Scottsdale. That's what the turquoise.
I'm telling Teresa you said that.
Yeah. It's weird because it's not even precious, right?
No.
It's not in. There's no industrial applications like, oh, those blades that cut granite, they've got turquoise in them. It's a fucking soft, weird rock that's blue, but beside the novelty of the blue part, we're about done. Sorry, go ahead.
He wants to know, how can you complain about, ooh, I love these, the super comfy, fully reclining chairs at the newer movie theaters.
Oh,
all right. Here's how I can complain about those seats. First off, I don't like my kids having a life that's 80 times better than mine was. I like it 3.5, maybe 4 times as good as my childhood, but not fucking 80 times. You know what I mean?
3 times, fool.
Like, in my world, I watched a black and white TV that was 13 inches. It was 13 inches across and 19 inches deep. Like, it was literally deeper than it was wide.
Oh, you talk about the pants ratio? That's a bad ratio for TVs when it's deeper than it was
wide. I would like to live in a world where my kids enjoyed a 26.5-inch TV that sometimes had color, but not a fucking 65-incher where they got to talk to whoever was on TV and they talked back. I don't fucking like that. I don't like them going to the movie theater and then going into full Cape Canaveral launch mode. So they have a guy with an oxygen box. He's strapping them in. They have their seconds. They go in there. They get their fucking their red vines and their gummy this and all their shit and their $80 worth of shit. And they, remember, if I wanted candy in a movie theater, I had to fucking smuggle the shit in like I was getting a cell phone into a prisoner, right? Like, hey, you want to get those Mike and Ikes in there, you know how to do it. You could leave them in the box, but that's going to be a tough ride.
That's worse.
I say you just feed them in once at a time, like we're putting bullets in a magazine, you know what I mean? Just keep feeding them in.
Go full Pez.
Such a weird...
If they find those, you don't know me.
It's also insane because when I was a kid, you know, you could see a triple feature for $1 or $1.50 at the local movie theater. I'm sure a Three Musketeers bar was 20 cents or 25 cents at the supermarket or whatever. The concession stand was maybe 30 cents or something. For that, we had to stop somewhere, buy the shit, and then have my mom load us up like it was Midnight Express, you know? Like a fucking shoving shit down our pants, pushing stuff, like all in the name of saving 18 cents. Humiliating, you know, you get a fucking chocolate rash down in your ball sack, but you just... So, my kids go there and they go, we're going full recline, and they recline. I go there, and I'm not really prepared, and I'm wearing my sweatpants, and I do the full recline, and all I do is hear everything I own hit the ground. Jeez, that sounded like two cell phones hit the ground. Keys, change, wallet, clip, everything. I just go full recline, everything hits the ground. Now you're in this weird zone, which is the movie has started. Can you enjoy this movie knowing that your wallet, money clip, keys, and cell phone are on the sticky cement underneath your ass? Or do you make the move now to get down on the world's worst ground? You know what I mean? Like, what is worse than that fucking sticky, gooey mess that's at the front of a movie theater? Are you able to just block it out until the end of the movie when you can search for it?
No, because all you're going to think the whole time is, don't let me forget my wallet, don't let me forget my wallet, don't let me forget my wallet. Because it's under you, you're going to get up and leave.
And if the theater's packed, you never know what mischievous kid behind you is reaching down.
Yeah, you don't know if it's lid or whatever. So the full recline thing is good, although I do not like the kids enjoying themselves. I don't like it when their feet don't make it to the end. You know what I mean? They go into full recline. It's like, hey, Daddy got another 3 feet of real estate. Feed me more candy. I don't like them enjoying themselves that much. I don't like them being that comfortable. And I don't like all my shit on the floor. And look, I got to just break down and get a fucking fanny pack. I mean, it's time. I got to go full fanny. I'm going to get a turquoise belt and a fanny pack and just go, fuck it.
Off to the races.
Talk all you like. I don't care. You talk the whole time. Your wallet's on the fucking ground, stuck up there with Mr. Pibb and Sprite. My wallet's right where I like it, above my huge turquoise belt buckle. All right, what else you got?
All right, next one. Sherry Scobie of Thousand Oaks. Where are you, Sherry?
Sherry, over here.
Can I say this, dude, with the movie theater? I don't know why. I don't fully trust the drink holder.
Yeah.
As I'm putting it in, I'm always a little trepidation, like a little...
Because a lot of times you don't know if it's got the X plastic on the bottom to keep stuff from falling, or if it's just one of those that gets narrower with an open bottom.
Always a little. This is what we call a first world problem. I'd like to go to Ethiopia and be like, you know when you're fully reclined in your leather chair?
First run movie.
And you're watching Star Wars, you got a huge bottle of Evian. Yeah. You know how when you put it in the holder, you're never quite sure.
You got your iPhone X, you might just set it right there, but you know, it could fall.
All right, what else we got, Brett?
Sherry, who's right there against the window from Thousand Oaks, says you can't complain about Thousand Oaks.
We got to get ready to run.
Well, listen, you guys may... Where's Sherry? All right, you call yourself... You may be in Thousand Oaks, but I'm in La Cañada. That's called fucking Million Oaks. There's a million... A fucking million oak trees. And I don't... There's something I don't get. I have a property I'm attempting to build on the property. I cannot build on the property because in this property that is probably 3/4 acre, a lot of it hillside, there's 15,000 oak trees. Now, I have the dickhead from the city explaining to me, these are endangered species. I'm like, what if rats and cockroaches were just endangered species? Like, I get fucking Bengal tigers and white rhinos. Anyone see a white rhino lately in person? When's the last time you rode a Bengal tiger or fucking tripped over one? Or like, when's the last time a Bengal tiger shit on your car?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because...
It's been asked 1,000 times.
Every single fucking oak tree, which is an endangered species, has 5,000 crows in it, which are also endangered species. I would argue that if I can park my car under you and you can destroy it with shit anywhere I go in La Cañada, is you're probably not an endangered species.
Yeah, that's good.
There are fucking crows everywhere, and they're endangered, and these goddamn oak trees are all over La Cañada. And if you want to do some work on your property that you pay taxes on, and you'd like to build a structure that you are going to pay for so that you can pay more in property taxes, you must go check with the city about the oak trees. And then the dickheads, it's the saddest thing in the world because they turn you into a criminal. Because you have to hire, because there'll be a fucking oak tree right in the middle of the place you want to put your jacuzzi. And you'll go, shit, this is fucking us up royally. And then some guy will go, I know an arborist who's basically a mafia arborist. Now you got to pay cash and you got to go under the table and you can't say shit. But this guy... And the mafia arborist.
This tree's got to go.
Yeah, for the right price.
Oakstra Nostra.
He'll go in and he'll deem the tree is sick.
Yeah.
It needs to be removed. And then you, because we're insane, and our founding fathers would never fucking stop vomiting if they knew this was going on. You go, how much does this guy charge him? $500-$600. What's he do? Well, he's certified. So he'll go in, he'll say the tree's roots are bad, then he'll bring it into the city, then they'll give us permission to pay to take down a tree on our fucking property. Oh, thank you, Your Highness. Thank you, Dick, who gets $37,000 a year out of my fucking tax money for granting me the privilege of paying a guy to tear down a tree on my fucking property. Oh, what a day. This is awesome. And then these dickheads are like, oh, and by the way, if you're going to build... we need you to put chain link fences around the other oak trees. You mean the one a fucking billy goat couldn't get to if it was wearing fucking waffle stompers and I gave it a cup of coffee? That fucking tree up there? Yeah, we need a chain link fence around it. Oh, good, I'll hire a fucking Sherpa and some block and tackle and we'll fucking put in a funicular and I'll put this shit around. But by the way, we're not working up there. The house is down here. Yeah, we know. But fucking do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm sitting in an air-conditioned cubicle and I don't give a fuck. And then you go to the other oak tree and you go, oh, you want that oak tree? You have to put a fucking... we have to put a cage around there so two guys can, like, fight in a fucking octagon. We're going to put a cage around that one, too. And you go, yeah. And then you go, well, that one's on the property line. That one's in the neighbor's yard. All right, we'll just do it anyway. Well, you have rules about building. I can't get it within 20 feet of the property line, so how can I? Yeah, yeah, just do it. Whatever cost you the most money, taxpayer, go ahead and do it. And by the way, oh, the homeless guy just took a shit in your driveway? There's nothing we can do.
Put a fence around
yeah.
him.
I mean, come on. You guys want to live in a world where taxpayers can't decide whether to cut down trees on their property and homeless guys can shit in your driveway? I'd say that's a utopia,
it is,
right?
It sure is.
Build yeah. a fence around the homeless guy.
Yeah, when we build a fence about his around his fucking shit. Can I say this about the homeless? I would feel much more empathy for you, your plight, and your situation if you weren't such surly dicks. I had a homeless guy last night. God, this is a fucking
weird
night. Guys,
this is good pod. Look forward to this on Monday.
This is, yeah. All right. Yesterday, because I don't work enough, I had to do Kimmel's show. I did the podcast. Then I did Kimmel's show, and Oscar De La Hoya, golden boy, Oscar De La Hoya, asked me, would you like to do my like web series where we chronicle great fights? And I said, I love boxing. I'm a fan. I would be honored. He said, we shall do it after you do Kimmel. We'll set up in your warehouse. I got the big screen that comes down where we watch the football games on Sunday. This guy comes in with big cube trucks, cables running everywhere, video village, cameras everywhere, booms and jibs. And it's going to be me and Oscar De La Hoya and Irish Mickey Ward. They made the movie The Fighter after, who got into his epic trilogy battles with Gotti, Arturo Gotti, who's now passed away. Another weird story. But Irish Mickey Ward, Mickey Ward and Gotti had a fight of the ages. I mean, really the best 10-round slugfest back and forth ever. And I was going to sit on my sofa starting at 7 o'clock at night next to Oscar De La Hoya and Mickey Ward and describe the entire fight on an 18-foot screen. Best fucking night. I had to put a cookie sheet under me to catch the dripping semen. What a wonderful, magnificent night. At the end, it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Oscar De La Hoya, his girlfriend, my kids were with me. Sonny and Natalia had come from Jimmy's. All the crew, some of the wives or men and women. Everyone was leaving out of my warehouse, out of the front door. As I was walking out, I got the news that there was a fella sleeping in front of the door. I thought, who is that? I opened the door. He looked like Dawson. I opened the door, and there was a dude just sleeping in front of the only door you could get in and out of. And it was a guy who was passed out.
Hey, now.
And I said, I was like looking at him, and he was sleeping, and he was passed out or whatever. So I took my foot, and I gently nudged the bottom of his foot.
Yeah.
Just the bottom. I just gently sort of tapped it, and he kind of was jostled, and he woke up, and he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, Well,
good, sir.
What are you kicking me for? I was like, well, I'm just trying to get your attention. We got a whole group of people. They're all coming out of this door. If you could kindly get up and move it somewhere else down the sidewalk. I have another door opening, literally, that I don't use. If you could just relocate. Fuck you.
He was giving you double birds.
I was like, look, I don't want to get into it. If you could, fuck off. What are you doing in there, selling drugs? I'm like, no, but noted, actually, because the documentaries are about breaking even. I figured we'd start dealing.
There's clearly a market, evidenced by this guy.
Let me get my steno pad. Yeah. Keep going. So I go, listen, I just please get up. And now, like, De La Hoya's, like, girlfriend is, like, opening the door and, like, oh. Yeah. And he's having to, like, she's stepping over him and stuff. And I'm like, just please get up and move. There's 30 people that are going to be coming out of this door. And he's like, fuck off. And I'm like, wow, you're worse than my parents. You really are. And I rarely, no, but I rarely say that. But I said, just please get up and move. He's like, fuck you. And I said, okay, well, look, everyone is coming out. So I'm now going to call 911 and I'm going to have to get a patrol car over here because you refuse to move. And then this one, my favorite part of life and my favorite wiring, which is you're calling 911. Oh, fuck you. Now it's on. Which is like, I'm calling 911 because people are stepping on your asshole when they're walking out of my building. And I've just said to move. That's all. I mean, a simple request is just to simply go down the sidewalk 20 feet.
On the other side of my property.
Yes, now I've got to play the heavy because you refuse to move. I call 911. I start dialing. He gets up to his feet and he's like, oh, fuck you. It's on. Yeah. And he starts staggering toward me and flailing his arms around.
Point out who's behind you.
These guys have seen the surveillance footage.
It's compelling.
It is comical.
You stop me if I'm exaggerating in any way.
And don't forget, there's a 12-year-old girl in a beautiful little dress bawling her eyes out next to her daddy.
My daughter is standing behind me crying. This guy's going, okay, what the fuck? And I'm standing with my daughter behind me on the sidewalk, and I'm putting my hand out because this guy's getting physical, and when I put my hand out, he's slapping my hand. I wanted to fucking punch him so bad.
And he's advancing on you.
But listen, I know L.A. County. He'd go get Gergos. He'd lawyer up. Mm-hmm. Smash cut to 6 months later. I'm sleeping in front of the door. He comes out in a tails and top hat.
Adjust his monocle.
Out of the way. I'm having a fondue party, and many of my guests do not appreciate this.
He mutters, they really should do something about the homeless problem here.
It'd be like Trading Places. I'd be in a Santa's beard. Where's the Miura? Oh, I sold that shit on eBay years ago. No! My daughter'd be hugging him. Get him away, Daddy!
Daddy!
Who is that wretched man?
This fucking dude is up on his feet. He smacked me hard, but, you know, in the arm, but two times. Fucking whacked me two times. And all I'm thinking is, well, there's Oscar De La Hoya and Mickey Ward. Now, normally, I'd be thinking, I taught boxing for 25 years, so I'll knock you out. But in this particular case, we have Olympic gold medalist Oscar De La Hoya and Irish Mickey Ward standing here. Yeah. So maybe I'll let them take over.
What a story that would be for his homeless junkie friends. You'll never believe who beat me up last night.
I'm never washing this face again. I wasn't going to anyway, but now I'm really not.
So this guy was like sort of Frankensteining toward me. My daughter was crying and screaming. I didn't want to fucking punch the guy, but I was going to at some point because my daughter and I were feeling sort of encroached on. And all I'm saying, look, not all of us will end up homeless, but a substantial number of people are here tonight will end up on the street through drugs or just financial circumstances. Don't be a dick. You already, look, you pay no taxes, and you get to sleep on the property I pay taxes on, and I'm the cool guy? Come on. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice. Now get your fucking underpants with the load in them and scramble up to your fucking shoes you stole from the supermarket and head on down the road a click. That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well Thank done. You. It's a powerful statement. All right, should we do... Oh, we got the movie. We got the news. What time is it?
Oh.
10 o'clock straight up.
Damn.
All right. Well, let's do the news. Let's get into the news. Right. Yes. And
give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
You,
news with Gina Grad.
If anyone doubts any of the last 13 minutes of homeless conversation, you can go to adamcarolla.com on Monday or tomorrow or something, and you will see video surveillance footage of exactly what I was talking about. And also, there's nothing worse than getting in a fight when you're dressed nicely.
Yeah.
I'm normally dressed to fight.
Yeah.
I was dressed very nicely. I actually had makeup on from Kimmel's. I was that unfight ready.
Yeah. And speaking of that, this is the first time in weeks I haven't been in pajamas. This is for you guys, so I hope you like it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So, summer penis.
Summer penis?
Summer penis summer is penis? A thing. It's hot out. It's been in the 90s and the 100s. Mm-hmm. People are miserable. Fans are sold out everywhere. But it's not all bad. Apparently, weather does have one positive effect on men. Some men are claiming that the heat is giving them summer penis. That's the phenomenon in which the heat causes penises to appear longer. And there is a whole Reddit forum on
this. Yeah. Summer penis.
This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Worst wine cooler Bartles and James ever came up with. You guys thought the raspberry explosion was bad? Summer penis.
So
did not
refreshing.
Test well at all.
Yeah.
Shit did not fly off the shelves.
Now, so I know in the... Yeah.
There's good news and bad news from our last focus group. Summer penis is not testing well.
I agree. We all... I think we can all agree that summer penis is
a perk.
Is good.
Yeah.
I think I have talked to Dr. Drew about why the brothers seem to have a bigger penis. He basically explained that, well, look, if you think about... Anyone who comes from any place where it's very hot and you're near the equator and stuff like that, you get long and drawn out.
Okay.
When you're a little closer to living in an igloo, you get a little shorter and tighter.
Constricted.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, well, think...
Sure.
I'm not saying Eskimo cock is small, but... Picture the Eskimo in general, and now picture the brothers, and there's a little difference in, you know, having to spread things out. Now, I also have a theory. I'm only going to do 20 minutes on black cock, and then we're going to move on, because I think there's a story about children's safety. I think it's important that we all need to hear. But first, 20 minutes on black cock. My theory... is the reason we all think black dicks are big is because the only engorged black dick you've ever seen is in a porn movie.
Mm.
It's not like, wait a minute, I've seen a lot of hard black cock just, you know, in my entry hall, at the Trader Joe's, you know, around the office. I see a lot. Yeah, no, I've seen a lot of hard black cock. No, you see no hard black cock. The only black cock you ever see is in porn movies and... Because we still have a long way to go.
Long.
We will only hire black guys for porn movies with a huge cock.
Cherry picking.
I dream of a world where a young black man with a miniature cock can flourish in the porn industry. I dream of a world where a young white man and young black man with the same size cock can get the same pay in the same gay porn. I dream of a world... Yeah, you get my feeling, right? We're not there yet. Look, I'd love to work this out, but I'd like to find a brother with a miniature cock to show up at a lot of porn places and go, hey, I'm looking for a gig. What up? Oh, this? Yeah, don't worry. I eat a ton of pussy. They'd be like, No. Pack up your micro cock.
Yeah.
Get back in your probably Pontiac. And, could be a Chrysler 300. It could be a Chrysler 300. Well, let's face it. It's the only car you see black people in. But, and head out.
Yeah. I have a dream, too. It's of a black man with a slightly smaller than average cock in adult films.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Why can't we realize
that? It would be uplifting. Yeah. Sorry, that's my black cock theory. Here we go. Where were we?
Time well
summer
spent.
Cock. Yeah.
We're moving on from summer penis to vagina steaming because we want this to be fair and balanced. So doctors are suggesting that women please stop steaming your vaginas.
Did they start?
Yes, they did. Celebrities like Gwyneth Paltrow, Chrissy Teigen, they've touted the benefits of vagina steaming. And according to Dr. Vanessa McKay, she's a spokesperson for the Royal College of Obstetrics, quote, it's a myth that the vagina needs cleaning like that, as it is designed to clean itself. The vagina contains good bacteria, which are there to protect it. If those bacteria are disturbed, it can lead to infection. She added, steaming the vagina could affect this healthy balance of bacteria and pH levels. Because I don't know if you've seen it, but on Instagram, Chrissy Teigen has posted many videos and pictures squatting over a vagina steamer.
Isn't she married to John Legend?
She is.
If I came home tonight and, like, Lynette was squatting over a tea kettle, like, holding her phone out like that, I'd be like, what the fuck? And she's like, oh, hey, now I got to spend some extra time in the edit bay to get you out of this video. I'd be like, listen, we got kids, and they're going to get on the internet one day, and maybe they don't want to see mama steaming her snatch. Like, let's just steam the crawfish. How about that? We'll leave the snatch alone.
Do you think a video exists of Chrissy's where in the background John's like,
Yes.
Door closes slowly.
I'm just saying. Oh, okay. Well, then I would go turnabout is fair play. I'm going to starch my balls. I'm going to film that shit and I'm tossing up on YouTube. Oh, embarrassing? Yes. That's what I'm feeling
it's
now.
It's just to raise awareness for ball starching.
I don't... I get it. There's a problem with being rich, being an atheist, and having way too much fucking time on your hands. You just turn into shit like this. Everyone needs problems. You don't need to be chased by a Kodiak bear, but you need to have some fucking serious problems. You need to have some bills and some ends to meet and some boss who's an asshole or something. Because I guarantee no woman who works full-time at the DMV steams her vagine, ever. I guarantee if you looked at like one of those Earth's map thing and they did the thing where like, oh, the clusters of this and cluster that, it would all be in Palos Verdes, Beverly Hills, and Malibu.
South Bay. Yeah.
You could then travel from there to Manhattan without one vag steamer all the way there. There's nobody who's like, what's your husband do? He's a coal miner. What do? Steam my vag. Oh, and I got little ones.
A door-to-door vag steaming salesman?
Yeah, there's like no one is like,
is what your wife
home? A mobile service? Yeah.
What are you doing tonight? I'm making hamburger helper, and then I'm going to steam my vag. We don't have enough money to go out.
Leave that colander on the counter.
Yeah, I'm going to make a tuna casserole, then I steam my vag. We can't afford cable, so we just watch network, and we just go ahead. It's a nice trailer park. Steam my vag. Yeah. Doesn't exist.
You're right.
If a chick said to me, if I was going on a blind date, and the chick was like, and I said, what'd you do earlier today? And she went, I steamed my vag. I'd be like, oh, you're rich. Oh, this is going to be good.
This is it, finally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry. It could be the new what?
Vaginal vaping.
Oh, vaginal vaping.
That's
yeah.
Good.
No vag steaming. Yeah.
Is that all you do? Do you squat over like a pot of boiling water?
I don't, but yeah, I think you squat
Gina,
over
do
it.
You squat over a pot of...
Hold on.
Isn't that
you
hot?
Should definitely use one of those things the wardrobe girl does uses, right? Where they have the wand with the thing on it, and they're like doing that move. Like, shouldn't you be doing that?
Christy has one of the. Oh my God!
You know what I would love? I would love if Chrissy Teigen or Gwyneth Paltrow could time it just right, so that like when they were steaming the vag. Right at the last second, they took a hit off a clove cigarette, and as their man walked in, they just blew a smoke ring. The cigarette was behind them.
It's good physical
humor. The guy would fucking freak out.
That's good.
We'd believe that shit, too.
That's some Penn and Teller shit.
I didn't even know you could pee with a tampon in until like 9 months ago. Like, I didn't even... We have no fucking idea how the shit works. We have no...
Wait, you can?
That's what I'm saying. Right?
You mean I can pee if Chrissy has a tampon in?
You can pee, but she can't. Oh,
what?
No, she can.
What?
I'm telling you, if you just took a hit off a clove and then put it behind you and put the vag steamer and the dude walked in and you just blew a perfect smoke ring, he'd go, oh, yeah, I knew it. I knew it. I'm going to put my dick through that steam ring. True story, Hannah God.
Google it.
Yeah, Google that shit. Yeah. So we don't know. But, I mean, to be fair, we don't want to know.
We don't want to know, but they would like us all to stop. So a study commissioned by a dog walking service found that when it comes to dating, people trust their dogs to pick their partners. The research found that 4 out of 5 dog owners say their dog's reaction to a potential partner greatly influences their decision of whether or not to date them. And 86% of dog owners say they would definitely break up with someone who wasn't into their dog.
I just took my dog, Phil, for a walk tonight. He's fucking insane. He has no fear of normal things like cars and other dogs and all that kind of shit. And he's nice, except for he's nuts. And he goes to the fence, and the other dogs are barking their asses off like Great Danes. They're going, ah, their teeth are showing. And Phil just, like, looks at him, and they're fucking going nuts. And at some point, he just jumps up in the air and does a barrel roll and lands like that. And they freaks him all the fuck out. But he never means anything by it. And I just thought, to me, it's like if you took the actor around who was in the movie The Blind Side.
Yeah, the guy who played Michael Orr.
Can't think of his name, but he's a... And Michael Orr, but the actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And that guy just, every time he got next to a small white person, just went like, wah! And then never meant anything by it. That's what my dog does to other dogs. He never means anything. He's just fucking nuts. So I did a move with him. I was taking him for a walk. You know that thing you do, once in a while you do shit to your dog that they probably don't need and they probably don't like, but you decide that you need it and you like it? I was like, yeah, it's getting hot. And so I just dumped water on his head.
Yes, we did the same thing.
I like it. I don't know why. He doesn't seem to like it, but I've decided he liked it.
Our dogs are either a combination of annoyed, confused, and get this water off me.
Yeah. It's basically the same thing I do when I'm pissing outside and I go, oh, there's ants. I'll just pee on these ants. So,
multitask.
Because otherwise it would be a waste of pee, right? But
yeah.
If I can pee on something that's living.
That's the way to go.
Well, then that's what God wants for all his children, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's that same thing I do with my dog. I should just pee on Phil's head while I'm drinking
the
water.
Middleman. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Phil does the weird... When Phil does his head, his jowls are so big, it actually makes a slapping sound. Like, oh! It's like Nixon going, oh, I'm not a crook. Sorry.
Have you guys heard about this Uber vomit scam? This is like crazy.
What is this?
Check this out. So the next time you use Uber... check your bill. The trip could be a little more expensive than you thought, and it's because of a fraudulent reason. So it's called the vomit fraud. It's a scam repeatedly denounced in social networks, yet taking place all over the world. So this is what it is. Passengers request their Uber car. They deliver them to the destination. All good. No problem. They get out. But soon the passenger receives a note from Uber reporting an adjustment in the bill and an extra charge that can range from $80 to $150, depending on how crooked you are. The passenger is totally unaware of what's happening. They call Uber, and the first reply they get is, quote, your driver notified us that during your trip there was an incident in the vehicle and therefore had to authorize a $150 cleanup fee. You're like, what the fuck? I didn't do anything. The Uber driver has on hand a picture of the back of his car sprayed with vomit that he sends to anybody who he's charged $150. And Uber happily sends the picture to you saying, look, he sent us this picture. What do you want us to do? You threw up all over his car. We're charging you another $150.
It's so weird, like, what percentage of the planet... Yeah, I'm with you. I'll tell you a story in a minute.
But also get home safe tonight.
What percentage of the planet is like... yeah, I would like to have money so I could buy nice things, but I definitely can't work. Yeah. Like, that's kind of out of the question.
So how do we bridge that gap?
Yeah.
I want nice shit, work is not on the table. So I should probably spend a lifetime trying to get other people who do work to give me some of their money.
Yeah.
Let's see. I could be a really shitty career politician. I could do slip and falls at the supermarket. Yeah. I could come up with internet scams. Whatever. I shall spend all of my fucking working hours, I should say waking hours, not fucking working, but figuring out shit to do that will probably yield me less money than working overall, but I definitely can't work. That's for suckers and rich people who aren't criminals.
Chumps.
It's a fucking weird thing. Yep. Hey, you guys tell me in the pantheon of things to argue with your wife or not, I want to start a new game show called Is It Worth It?
All right.
Every time my wife... Now, when I call an Uber, a guy shows up in a Daihatsu Charade with two fucking Space Saver spares on one side... And me and four other guys pile into the back, and we go to the Burbank airport. Lynette goes solo, and the Denali with the limo tint pulls up.
Uber Black.
And then I say this. Is that like the Uber Black or Uber Excellence or Uber Expense? Is that... She says, it's just Uber. And then I go... It's just Uber, but why is the guy in the town? Hey, that's all they got around here. You know, it must have been nearby or something. We're out in La Cunada. What are you going to do? Anyway, we're going to have fun spending your money in Chicago. And then she splits. And I always kind of want to go, oh, well, let me see your phone. But I never do.
Sure. Smart.
Now, I wouldn't mind if there was a setting where she went, it's Uber Excellence because I'm worth it, and thank you very much. I'll toss in an extra blowjob at the end of the year. But what's unsatisfying is, oh no, that's just a regular
that's
Uber.
The same thing as always.
Yeah, no reason to thank you.
You got
I'm just taking the regular Uber.
It's you coin
got the,
toss.
You got the Hyundai yesterday, and I just got whatever showed up. You know?
Yeah. This was right up there with her and the kids at a wedding in Chicago for 4 days. Ordering room service and partying and whatnot. And I said, you know, when I travel, I stay at the Detroit Marriott, the airport, the Detroit Airport Marriott, the fucking sliding door that goes into the parking lot that leads you to the airport. And I said, where are you guys staying? She's like, oh, we're at the Ritz-Carlton. I'm just hearing like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. I said, you're at the Ritz. You're at the 4 days at the Ritz Carlton in Chicago. She goes, "Yeah, I'm at the Ritz. We're all at the Ritz." I okay. And I know what these guys do with fucking. They do with room service. Like they'll go, "Give me a quesadilla with lobster on it," and then they'll bring it up and they'll go, oh, "I'm not hungry anymore." And they'll shove it out in the front door. And I'll be like, "What the fuck? That was $41." No. So she goes, we're at the Ritz-Carlton, Chicago. Be here for another few more days. And I said, Jesus Christ, that sounds expensive. And she goes, oh, no, the father of the bride, he's putting the whole thing on, so he's paying for everything.
Oh.
And I said, oh, wow, he's paying for the room? Oh, not the room.
The wedding. The ceremony.
You do understand... There's always the follow-up question, because there needs to be the follow-up question, although...
This is like the casket story, God rest his soul.
Yeah, my father-in-law, when he passed away, my wife was like... I was like, why is everyone thanking me at the funeral? I mean, I do look spiffy in this suit, but... How come every one of your family members saying, thank you, Adam, we appreciate what you've done? And they're like walking away. Why are all your adult family members thanking me? What did I do? And she was like, oh, you paid for the shit. And I was like, oh, I paid for the funeral? It was pretty nice. And she's like, yeah, you paid. And I said, okay. How much was it? And she goes, well, the most expensive thing was the casket, and that was $1,300. And I went, okay, well, if that was the most... Oh, 13,000. Sorry, 13,000. Get him out! just because I have to. Later on that night, I went online and at Costco for $999. I found the exact same cast. Exactly. Pewter fucking hand grabs and a fucking royal blue. I found the exact same thing for $999.
Had she just come out with 13,000, it would have been okay. Not okay, but better because you were braced for it. You were braced for the big punch, but she hits you with 1,300 and you let your guard down. Like,
yeah, your soft underbelly was exposed.
That's right.
She does that shit all the time. She goes the wrong fucking direction with everything, which is like, I've had it happen a million times. I was like, well, insurance didn't cover Sonny's orthodonture, but it wasn't bad. How much was it? I was like $800. Oh, that's $8,000. I mean, I've had it with my fucking dog, where the dog is like, oh, how much did the procedure cost? Oh, it was like, I think it was like $1,100. Oh, well, I guess $11,000. It's like, I always say, would you go the other way, please?
Yeah. It's $110,000.
What? Right.
Oh, thank God.
Right. All right. One more, Gina Grad.
All right. Raise your hand if you've heard of the word babies.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to school
you
on
babies?
It. You're going to hate it. Let me
Hold
explain
on.
What it is.
Adam's dog, Phil, has babies.
Yeah, he's not going to like it.
I stay woke, and I don't know.
You sure do.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, I'm woke.
Oh, I didn't know you were woke.
Oh, you should be woke.
He's hella woke.
I thought he was woke. I didn't think he was woke.
I not only am woke, I stay woke. And I don't know what babies is, so
right.
Maybe something unusual. Yes.
Prepare to get woker. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a new word in the lexicon. They're thabies, T-H, thabies. According to NBC News, thabies are children whose parents do not tell them whether they are boys or girls.
Oh,
and
this.
Wait for the children to reach an age where they can decide for themselves. Yep. So the article says, if no one knows a child's sex, the child can't be pigeonholed into gender stereotypes. But scientists say children know their gender, and it's all implications by age.
By the way, yeah. Remember I was showing you that map of the United States with the vaginal steamers?
Yeah, similar map.
Same fucking map for the babies.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, Brandon was 4 when he discovered he was a boy, but he was 3 when he decided I was a dick. That's when he discovered mom and dad were fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
I love it. I love when white people run out of problems. Yeah. That's what I love. I love it. Like, hey, what else can we be allergic to? I don't know. Tree nuts?
Been there, done that.
Anyone want to spray on some more sunscreen? We're indoors and it's dark. Okay, let's see. What else can we be pulled off a plane or out of a schoolroom? Or what can we fucking bitch about?
It's pretty much stripped bare.
Sadness. Allergic to sadness.
Allergic to sadness?
Come on.
Let me steam my urethra and think about that, Tim. I appreciate that. In the meantime, I thought you referred to your son as a he. You better watch yourself.
No.
I'm saying you can do it, just not in baby's presence. Oh. You understand?
I understand.
Yeah, because that's what we need. More fucking confused, angry fucks to enter the workforce who don't know shit. And now they can scream, you're not the boss of me. I just don't know what I am. But either way, you're not my fucking boss.
Yeah.
It is a fucking, it is the saddest state of affairs. I had to yell at my 19-year-old nephew today who works for me. Do you get high all the time? No. Well, then quit fucking up or I will fire your ass. And he's been working for me for 3.5 weeks. And he's a fucking family member.
That's called new employer into orientation around here.
Jesus, goddamn Christ. You've never heard fucking lazier and slower and more apathetic and more lethargic than the 19-year-olds. Like, the fucking young guys are just piles of shit. It's fucking sad. We better pray there's not another war. Because whoever's, you know, all those stories of like, well, he was 16, he lied about his age, and he joined the Merchant Marine in 1941. Those guys are all gone. Now it's like, well, he lied about his age. Yeah, he was 26. He said he was 14, so he wouldn't have to fight. So he lied about his age. He just went the other direction. And then while everyone else was fighting it out on Iwo Jima and Omaha Beach, he was sitting on a beanbag chair playing Fortnite and beating off. It's going to be awesome. I don't want to tell the Chinese or the Ruskies. We are ripe for the fucking picking. No. We got a whole bunch of fucking stoner, slacker babies who aren't going to fucking put up a fight when you come in and take over. And before you know it, we're all going to be speaking Chai Russian.
Wow.
That's Chinese and Russian put together. Chushin.
Rushino.
Thank you. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina
Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Thank you guys for coming out tonight, Thousand Oaks. And I want to thank Gina Grad over here.
Thank you.
And Bald Brian over there. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Make sure you follow Adam Carolla on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Follow the show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Give us a thumbs up on Facebook. And folks, stick around because the Ace Man would like to meet you. We will be selling merch, signing autographs, taking pictures. That will take place just outside here of Borderline. You can go outside and meet Adam, and you can come back in and enjoy music with Loxy. I will also play a set. Please stick around. But you cannot take your alcohol outside, okay? Okay, good enough. Love you guys, Thousand Oaks. Thanks for coming. One more time, Adam Carolla! Stick around for lots of great music.
For Judge Judy and next new Ellen from the movie Second Act, friend Leah Remini.
I'm a great friend.
Yes, you are a good friend.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Today at 3 on NBC4 and...
It's one thing when it happens to you, but your child, she was innocent.
Hundreds of innocent victims of e-cig explosions.
It is a huge problem.
Is anything being done to protect you? Our I-team investigates the exploding danger. Tonight at 11 on NBC4.
Inspired by a true friendship, Green Book is the feel-good movie of the year. When Tony Lip, a bouncer from an Italian-American neighborhood in the Bronx, is hired to drive Dr. Don Shirley, a world-class black pianist, on a concert tour of the Deep South, they are confronted with racism and danger as they are forced to set aside their differences to form an unexpected friendship. Green Book stars Academy Award nominee Viggo Mortensen and Academy Award winner Mahershala Ali. This Thanksgiving, see the movie critics call a rare gem of a film and absolutely wonderful.
ADT can design and install a smart home just for you, backed by 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Set up custom automations unique to your home to automatically do the things like lock the doors or set the thermostat when you leave. Even close your garage door from virtually anywhere. ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor and outdoor cameras, locks, lights, and garage door control, even video doorbells. Visit ADT.com/podcasts to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.